This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report
with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I really appreciate getting a chance to talk to you, Brad, because a lot of the stuff that you're writing about, you had a question in the mailbag where someone wanted to know if there are scenarios that haven't really been discussed about who the Bears could take with the 10th overall pick. And I found that really interesting because we had a conversation recently where we were talking about just different ideas, kind of outside the box stuff. And we got into the corners a little bit, and you talk about the cornerback situation. And, you know, I don't know how to feel. I don't think they're giving up on Tyreek Stevenson. I don't believe that. But I do think that this is a super important year for a guy that was shaky a bit last year, ran afoul of some trouble, obviously was benched after the incident with the Hail Mary pass in Washington, and then did not take well to that and seemed to really be impacted by it. So, you know, hopefully new staff, new coaches, they can get to him, they can get the best out of him. But Jalen Johnson is going to be apparently running around the field guarding the best receiver. Good idea. And I don't know if we believe that Tyreek Stevenson is going to be the guy that maybe they thought he was when they moved up and drafted him.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because they've got some depth at the cornerback position. And if they sell the idea that they believe new secondary coach Al Harris can bring the very best out of a young and talented Tyreek Stevenson, you know what? I'd sit back and watch that. Like, I'd be open-minded about him being able to play with more consistency. The question I got in the mailbag was, is there a scenario for that 10th pick that maybe hasn't been publicly discussed or kicked around in right. The media or has gone under the radar a little bit? I would have a high level of confidence that inside the building, the Bears are there are no, like, under-the-radar possibilities, that everything is being evaluated, which is a process that's ongoing. But in my answer to the question, I said, well, you know, one possibility, and I'm not saying it's a likelihood, but here's something we haven't heard a lot about. What about a cornerback at 10? Because at 10, potentially, you're taking the second cornerback in the class after Travis Hunter, who's a cornerback and a wide receiver. And if your grade on a cornerback that's available at that point, Will Johnson from Michigan could be a possibility, is considerably higher than what you've got on an edge rusher or a potential offensive lineman that might or not might be able to, you know, play tackle, and you're going to remain true to your grading system, well, maybe you go with a corner there. And then, you know, if you feel like you've got a really top-flight corner coming out of the draft, well, I mean, you get that position really locked down then, and you've also got some depth.
So, Brad, the players reported back to Hallis Hall on Monday for the beginning of the offseason program, and we heard from many of them a day later. What, if anything, held any significance to you based on what you heard from some of the Bears?
Well, I mean, I'd listen to Jalen Johnson, folks. You know, he's – I would advise fans and other members of the media probably to listen to Jalen Johnson when, you know, he pointed out that he's, you know, he's been through the off-season hype and he knows what that looks like, and that doesn't mean a thing in the regular season. We've talked on the program about the Bears hanging, you know, off-season championship banners inside the Walter Payton Center, right? They're running out of room in the rafters. You've got to go out and you got to play better during the season. You got to play more consistently, and you've got to win more football games. So I thought Jalen Johnson kept it real, and there is reason for optimism here. I like the head coaching hire a lot. I'm intrigued by some of the guys on Ben Johnson's staff. The moves in free agency and otherwise, trades to fortify the roster have made sense. But they've got to get better through the draft. They've got to get some impact players through the draft. They've got to draft and develop their young players. And they've got to get a better and stronger roster as well.
So we had this – yeah,
like,
sorry.
Hold on. One more. And then, like, I saw some people kind of made a big deal about Tremaine Edmonds saying, you know, they're in win-now mode.
Yeah.
Let's just press the pause button here and evaluate this. You've got a player
– Why?
– saying they're in win-now mode. Like, if a player says anything other than that, it's newsworthy.
Well, then – right? That's what Jalen Johnson is saying. He's saying, well, I'm not that excited. You shouldn't be that excited. We're just going to disappoint you anyway.
I mean, but a player saying we're in win-now mode? Yeah, of course you're in win-now mode.
Tremaine Edmonds did not say just we're in win-now mode. He said that Ben Johnson entered the room. You liked what you heard. He gets it, and he's the guy that we believe in.
Well, of course they believe in him, and they believed in Eberflus until – it wasn't the coach anymore.
I want you to tell me the Bears are leading the league in offseason victories. I don't need the leaders of the Bears to tell me to tone things down because it's too much hype. I want them to believe that they're one season away from going to the playoffs, or they're one season away. They're in win now mode. I want to hear that from the players.
Did you buy into the Justin Fields as my quarterback when they were, you know, three quarters of the way through the 2023 season, and it was abundantly clear to anyone without Kool-Aid glasses on that he wasn't going to be the quarterback of the Bears? I mean, did you want to hear that too?
That's a different scenario. That was in season. That was, we had evidence. When you're starting a new regime, I'm okay with over-the-top optimism from players who were in there and believing that they're capable of doing things that they may not have done before.
I'm cool with him saying that, but it's like people look, they're in win now mode. Well, yeah, of course the player's going to say they're in win now mode. Let's see what they do in the draft. Let's see what things look like this summer, and we'll hopefully look a heck of a lot better, and they'll hopefully be a heck of a lot more competitive, and won't fall into the kind of traps and ruts that just you know, destroyed this past season.
I had no problem with the Bears staying with Braxton Jones last year because he still had a couple of years left on his contract, and you didn't know what you had on your offensive line. They made some moves, and they came out and said the offensive line was going to be better than ever and all that. But the reality is that they've now brought in three new starters on the interior of that line, and they've got a right tackle they drafted and believe in, and the left tackle will not be able to start training camp. He's going to be added as the year goes on. And maybe they're shooting for the season opener with him. I don't know how quickly he will be up and running, but it does worry me both that he is injured right now and that his contract runs out at the end of the year. And I think it makes it more critical than ever to get a left tackle. Now, I want to ask you about who that would be if you believe that Will Campbell would be there at 10, if he's moving or if he's set there. And I want to get your take on Armand Membau, the kid from Mizzou.
The right tackle.
You're familiar with him. Played right tackle in college, but there are people that believe he might be able to play on the left side in the NFL. That seems like a real reach. I talked to a guy last week. Well, I got you, but it's going to be tough if you can't start the season with Braxton Jones.
Yeah, let's not rule Braxton Jones out for the start of training camp yet. Like, let's just
– okay.
That's a long ways off. I'd be so open-minded. Obviously, he's not going to be, you know, full strength this spring. But with camp a long ways off, we'll see where that is. It's an interesting situation because if Will Campbell's not there and some teams are evaluating Will Campbell as a guard, what are you going to do? With Membau, listen, there are teams that are looking at him. More teams looking at him as a guard than as a left tackle. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Because in a lot of times these college programs, when they've got a guy that's played right tackle for them, they're telling you without telling you that the guy's not a left tackle in the
right,
NFL.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's why, you know, Tevin Jenkins was a right tackle at Oklahoma State, and he was not cut out to play left tackle in the National Football League. So it's interesting because it's not like there was this super left tackle candidate that was available in free agency that they weren't able to get. Ronnie Stanley re-signed with the Baltimore Ravens. I think they're aware of the issue there. Are there potentially some guys they could get in round two that would fit there? Josh Connerly of Oregon. I don't know how they feel about Josh Simmons at Ohio State, who's coming off a knee injury.
Kelvin Banks.
You hear some up and down things about him. I don't think it's their plan. I would be curious if they've completely ruled out the idea of using Joe Tooney at left tackle. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I highly doubt that's plan A.
Yeah, I hope that's not plan A.
It might be plan B, but is it something that you can't discount? So we'll have to see. But, you know, when you get Drew Dahlman, who, in my opinion, is the big addition on the offensive line. You get Tooney, you get Jonah Jackson, and you're, you know, given the appearance that you're intent on building it from the inside out, you know, can you really say you've fully committed to it when you basically flipped a couple mid to late round picks and made one big signing without using a high draft pick on your offensive line? Like, do you have to do that to kind of follow through on that process?
Good stuff, Brad. Thanks for the insight. Good
Thank
to talk
you, buddy.
To you.
Great catching up.
Have a great day, guys.